Welcome to PRN's Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lenman. Paul Craig Roberts is my guest today. It's important to have Paul on to get his important perspectives on the major world and national issues of the day. It's at a time that I call the most perilous time in world history, and I don't think that's any exaggeration. There is literally a possibility, and Paul writes about this all the time, a possibility that the conflicts that America causes around the world literally could transform itself into another global war. Just imagine that possibility. Another global war, we had two of them. We know how destructive they were. I've said in a number of my articles that the weapons around today make the ones used in those earlier wars look like toys. And indeed, can you imagine a possible nuclear war? It really shocks to think that people running governments, especially in America, would have a dream of doing anything to risk a possibility that grave. Paul, welcome. We know that Obama addressed the UN General Assembly. We know what's going on in Syria. I know you have a lot of thoughts on both.
Well, you know, Obama's speech to the UN yesterday was the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I've never heard such rot, such ignorant rot. It made me ashamed that I'm an American and I'm represented by a fool like Obama. I was really astonished at him ranking Russia as the second greatest threat to humanity after the Ebola virus. I mean, there's no basis for this. This is worse than the lies that Colin Powell told the UN about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. This is just astounding. There's no evidence.
Paul, I wrote an article about it this morning. It's finished. It's on my blog site. I call it Obama's demagogic UN address. Yeah, Ebola is a greater threat than World War III. I mean, imagine reasoning like that, Paul.
Well, yes, of course, but imagine the imagine the reasoning that Russia is a threat. What has Russia done? This is all based on the lie of the Obama regime that Russia has invaded Ukraine. And, of course, it's an obvious, transparent, blatant lie, and everyone knows it, and yet people go along pretending that this lie is real. If Russia had invaded Ukraine, then Ukraine would now be part of Russia. There's nothing Ukraine can do about it, or for that matter, the United States. All the statements from the Russian government, from Putin, have made it clear that they will not accept the separatists as, again, part of Russia, Russians have essentially imposed a ceasefire on the separatists who were winning the war against the Ukraine Nazis. The whole thing is a transparent lie. And when the president will stand up before the entire world, this is at the UN, and tell what everybody there knows is a lie, then clearly the intention is to have a nuclear war. The only kind of war the United States can have with Russia or China will be nuclear. There's not going to be any other kind of war. And when you stand up and tell such a transparent lie to everybody who knows you're lying, this is a sign, look, you guys, we're going to take down Russia. They're in our way. Our Wolfowitz doctrine, our Brzezinski doctrine, doesn't allow any country to get in our way. It calls for us to overthrow that country or destroy it. And if we fail to bust up the Russian Federation using all of our Washington Finance NGOs inside Russia, you know, we had them in the streets last week protesting Putin's war against Ukraine. These people know there's no such war. Much of the Russian newspapers are owned by foreign interests, most likely funded by U.S. disinformation agencies. They carry on a constant propaganda against Putin and the Russian government from inside Russia. So if they fail to bust it up with disinformation and propaganda and organized protests in the street like they used to overthrow the Ukrainian government, it's war. And increasingly we see the statements from NATO generals, American generals, politicians, particularly the crazed Republicans, that we got to have more bases on Russia's border, more troops, more weapons. This whole thing can't be headed anywhere else but to war.
Well, it's very, very scary stuff. In one of my articles, I quoted John Pilger saying to the effect that he just couldn't remember a barrage of lies leveled against another country the way America and its rogue allies level them against Russia. He couldn't remember them going back into his memory. And it is so egregious. It's so over the top. And that's exactly what's going on. And I've written, like you have, that this stuff going on is literally heading for an East-West confrontation. The possibility that it could develop into a global war. It's shocking, and the idea that America wants to establish bases on Russia's borders. Can you imagine if Russia or China had bases in Canada or in Mexico, or if its warships patrolled off America's east or west coast or in the Gulf of Mexico? I mean, this would be a casus belli. I mean, we literally could have a war breakout because of stuff like this. And Russia is so patient. It's doing everything to avoid conflict, to promote peace, to resolve things diplomatically, and it gets bashed for doing the right thing. In other words, the truth is turned on its head, and a country dedicated to peaceful conflict resolution is called exactly the opposite of that. And of course, the media machine, John Kerry calls about Russia's RT International, the propaganda bullhorn. Well, America's propaganda machine, the major media, that's the American propaganda bullhorn.
Yes, and the difference is that the American propaganda bullhorn operates inside Russia through Russian newspapers.
Yep.
Because they're foreign-owned. So many of them are foreign-owned. And the American propaganda organ also operates inside Russia through the Western-financed non-governmental organizations who pretend to be human rights organizations, women's rights, educational, teaching democracy. All these things are CIA fronts. And so there's nothing like that in the United States from foreign sources. So it's clear that the United States is behaving in extremely aggressive ways toward Russia. And this is new. It started very recently. And in my opinion, it started when the Russian government refused to be Washington's puppet in the Middle East and interfered with the planned Obama regime military attack on Syria and interfered with the planned military attack on Iran. And this then brought into play the neoconservative Wolfowitz doctrine that Russia, the Russian Federation, has to be broken up. And so the first real move in this way was Ukraine. So the whole thing is headed to war. Now, the problem for the Russians is that they were so glad when communism passed away, and they were gullible. They assumed that they would be welcomed within the West, as part of the West. They were just simply uninformed. They were not aware of the Brzezinski Doctrine, the Wolfowitz Doctrine. Or if they were, they thought that only applied to the Soviet Union. But it doesn't. And so they were so gullible, and they trusted the West. And, of course, the West got in there, broke off Georgia, broke off the Central Asian republics, and broke off Ukraine, but left it there, and it was still basically in economic and political relationship to Russia until Washington overthrew the elected government last year. So this is a new development, and the Russians were just gullible. They thought they were now part of the West and would be welcomed, and they don't understand they will be welcomed as part of the West if they are prepared to be a puppet state like France and Germany and the UK and Canada and Australia and Japan. But if they want to have an independent existence as a sovereign country and an independent foreign policy, they will not be welcomed by the West. And it is the demonstration by the Russian government, led by Putin, that Russia has an independent foreign policy and that Russia will protect its interests from Washington, that has launched this assault. And in place of fact, we have lies by the White House. Now, what do you think is the effect on the world when the President of the United States goes to the UN and draws Russia as the greatest threat other than the Ebola virus, greater even than all of the harsh rhetoric that Obama directed against the Islamic State? What does the world think? I mean, are people so stupid that they believe this, or do they? I don't see how they could possibly believe it. So what is the effect when you hear a man lying through his teeth in front of everybody?
He's a laughingstock, Paul. I mean, he's literally a laughingstock. A world leader, world leaders don't tell such blatant lies to people who know exactly what's going on, the reasons why, the dangers, everything. They understand it very, very well, and have to sit there painfully and listening to his stomach-churning speech. I mean, it's enough to give anybody heartburn and an upset stomach to listen to that. I had to listen to a little bit of it, Paul. Press TV asked me to come on and comment about it. The speech, I guess, ran long. It ran very close to the top of the hour when the newscast came on. So I only had a few minutes. I only got a chance to make a few comments. I thought I was going to get about 10 to 15 minutes, but I got a little bit in, and then they had to jump to the newscast. But it literally gave me a stomachache to listen to them.
What is the consequence going to be, Stephen? Does this mean now that the Europeans are less likely to cooperate with him in the sanctions against Russia, that they are even less likely to get involved in the renewal of war in the Middle East? Or will Cameron be able to use all this American rhetoric to convince the British Parliament to join Washington's attack on the Islamic State? What is the impact in Russia? Will this discredit the American agents inside Russia, the newspapers that take the American side, the political activists that take Washington's line? Will this discredit them? I don't see. It looks to me like such a stupid thing. I don't see how it works for Washington or for the neoconservatives, unless it's the kind of lie that Hitler told just before he invaded Poland. You may remember he announced that last night Polish troops crossed the frontier and attacked Germany. Well, of course, no such thing had happened, but he felt he had to have some kind of excuse before he attacked Poland, so he told that. It went out to all the Germans and internationally. Is that what Obama's doing now when he equates Russia with a threat that doesn't exist?
Well, certainly no threat exists from Russia. Things are exactly the opposite. But in my memory, Paul, I simply can't recall the bashing of a country so egregiously, such egregious lies being told about a country, and by one claiming itself to be a democracy, which it is not in any sense of the word, and Russia, which is literally going all out since the beginning of the conflict in Syria, the conflict in Libya, the other conflicts, to resolve these things, responsibly through diplomacy, through political negotiation. So Russia's agenda is exactly the opposite of the way it's portrayed in official Washington and in America's bullhorn propaganda machine.
And, right, but what I agree. We agree with that. But what is the purpose of this? Why is Obama, or rather his speechwriters, who are fed by Susan Rice, the neocon who runs this National Security Council, why are they telling this?
I think it's to set up some kind of a confrontation. Maybe they think they can contain it, Paul, short of a global war. I mean, they're literally going head-to-head with Russia. Russia can only take so much. It's got to respond. If belligerent acts are committed against itself, it's going to respond in kind. So you get the sanctions wars going on. Russia hasn't done anything in response to the latest European and U.S. sanctions. But I just saw on Moscow Today, the Moscow Times, that they're preparing a draft resolution to seize foreign assets, I guess, of EU countries in America on Russian territory. Now, what this means, I don't know. I don't imagine there are many foreign assets worth seizing, but there's a draft resolution that's going through. I'd like to see something stiff being done. But Russia doesn't want sanctions wars. It's extraordinarily patient. It's amazing to me, John, how patient Russia really is. But again, it can only take so much. It's got to respond. So is America literally bullying Russia to do something to give America and EU countries an excuse to do even more, to set up some kind of a confrontation? Again, I can't believe that America wants a war with Russia. Just how far it's willing to go, I don't know. The only thing I can do is watch this stuff and comment on it and just guess what the heck is going on. But what America's game is, I don't know.
Well, you know,
I know what the objective is, Paul. I mean, the objective is, as you said, is to make Russia another U.S. vassal state. I think it's also to end up balkanizing Russia into mini states for more easy controllability. I think that's part of America's agenda. That's America's agenda in the Middle East. I think it's America's agenda on a global basis. So it wants that. It wants a controllable country. It wants Russia the way it was when Boris Yeltsin was the president. And he basically went along with U.S. policy. It's not that way
right.
with Vladimir Putin. And America wants to turn things back to those bad old days of the 1990s.
Right. But you can't really blame Putin because he got elected by the people who were fed up with being American puppets.
And his popularity is in the high 80%.
Yeah.
Incredible.
The Moscow Times, I think the Moscow Times is a foreign-owned newspaper, isn't it?
Oh, it may be. I don't know. I think it is.
I may be wrong, but I think it is. You know, what astonishes me also is I see the Russian foreign minister and the Russian government, they continue to take Washington's side in the Middle East. They're very much lined up with Washington against this Islamic State. It's sometimes called ISIS, sometimes ISIL. I don't know why they can't pick one or the other. But you see that they're all so concerned about these terrorists. Now, normally, if a country has got an intelligent foreign policy and it's being harassed, by Washington, as the Russians are, and then they see that Washington is in trouble in the Middle East with the Islamic State, instead of lining up with their enemy against their enemy's enemy, they would say, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and they would be supplying surface-to-air missiles to the Islamic State, who could then blow all the American fighter aircraft out of the skies. They would be supplying them with weapons that make them even more deadly and be helping them defeat the United States. Instead, the idiot Russians are lined up helping the Americans defeat their enemy. It doesn't make any sense. It's almost like the Russian government doesn't even have control over its own foreign policy. How can Lavrov take American side in a war? It makes no sense. When the United States is doing everything it can to destroy Russia. Where, if you look at this whole thing, it's almost like Russia can't do anything. They can't make a good decision. They should be arming ISIS. They should give them surface-to-air missiles. They should help them destroy the American puppet states in the Middle East.
What if
ISIS brings down Bahrain, which I think I could do with a few Georgia rednecks? If they bring down the United Arab Emirates or bring down Saudi Arabia, the entire policy of the United States would collapse. The energy situation would alter the power in the world. And yet, instead of exploiting these weaknesses in the American policy, the Russians are helping Washington. And the whole time, they're being viciously attacked and misrepresented and slandered and set up for more punishment. And it just makes no sense to me. I don't understand it.
On the one hand, I think Russia will not. Russia supports its Syrian ally, and I think it does forthrightly. But at the same time, Paul, I think Russia will not draw a red line on Syria and simply let Washington know in very clear language it will not allow things to go beyond a certain point. But I do believe Russia will draw a red line on Ukraine and let Washington know in no uncertain terms that it will not let Washington exceed its policies beyond a certain point.
Well, I just don't believe that because we've already conducted military exercises in Ukraine. There have already been NATO-American military exercises in Ukraine.
Well, I think the red line is incorporating Ukraine into NATO or making plans to do it. The idea that America could have bases on Russia's borders, I think Russia absolutely won't tolerate that, and I think it'll make it very clear to Washington. But I wanted to ask you about this. Yesterday, the Security Council passed a resolution 2178 against foreign terrorists, the financing of them, the allowing them to transit through the territory of countries that signed on to the resolution, and other countries are calling it a crime to let this thing happen. And Russia and China supported this resolution. It's not a Chapter 6 UN Charter resolution, which rules out force. It's a Chapter 7 resolution that permits force. Why do you think Russia and China signed on to that?
Because I think they're incompetent. I think the governments are incompetent. They don't understand the threat. You see, all the propaganda have them so fearful of separatist movements in their own countries. You know, there are Muslims inside Russia. We have the Chechnya situation, and in China, there are Muslim populations that are agitating for independence or some form of it, and so the two countries aren't thinking, and they're saying they should go make peace with those people. Instead, they're lining up with Washington out of this kind of fear that they're going to have internal problems themselves. And yet, Washington, of course, is doing everything it can to support the Muslim populations inside Russia and China. The CIA's hand is in it. Everybody knows this who pays attention. And so the resolution that's been passed, or whatever it is, whatever you call it, it won't be honored by Washington when it comes to Russia and China. The CIA will continue to funnel in resources and encourage those Muslim groups inside Russia and China, and there'll be no way to enforce it. But then Washington will use it against whoever it wants, because who is a terrorist or who's funding terrorists? Anybody Washington doesn't like. They'll simply make an announcement, and they'll end up claiming that's what Julian Assange does, or Snowden, or Greenwald, or you, or you just can't tell how they'll use it. So I think on the whole, it shows the same thing that I described earlier that happened in Russia, where they trusted the West. They were glad to be rid of communism. I think this is also true in China. People say, oh, they're still communist blood, but they're not. I mean, they have a one-party government, but it is, in every sense, a democracy. And it's very closely controlled from the standpoint of corruption. And their policies are not toward the enrichment of the Communist Party. It's toward the enrichment of the country. But they also, having gotten rid of communism, have this sort of utopian notion that now we'll be welcomed by the Americans. And everybody looks to America as some sort of a shining city on the hill because of the Cold War and the success of American propaganda in the Cold War. And so you have in both countries very large elements of people who are wistful about being accepted by the West and particularly by Washington. And I think this makes them unable to be realistic.
Paul, you can understand China's position. It does so much business with the West. I mean, you've written so much about this. America's manufacturing base is literally located in China to a great extent.
Right. Right, but it doesn't, I mean, China has it. It's there, so they don't need Washington. They've got the technology, and they don't need Washington.
Well, they sure do have the technology, and they can develop their own manufacturing base and do just fine for themselves, and they're heading, I don't know in what number of years, but probably in the not-too-distant future, maybe after 2020 or so, heading for becoming the world's largest economy. I mean, that notion drives Washington apoplectic, to say the least.
Right, but, you know, still, the financial institutions are in the West, you know. It's New York and London.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And these financial institutions can destabilize China. As China continues to liberalize and more foreign money flows in and the less they regulate the trading of their own currency, then all kinds of money can flow into China and drive up the Chinese exchange rate, cause all kinds of dislocations, high prices, and then all of a sudden just yank it all out and it collapses. This is one of the ways the United States always exercises control. So they can do that.
Isn't that the way the 97-98 Asian crisis developed?
Right.
U.S. manipulation.
Right.
Starting with Thailand, as I remember.
We do it all the time to South American countries.
South American countries as well.
Yeah,
indeed.
And we do it to Russia. You know, the ruble gets in trouble because we see that it's shorted. So I just don't think the Russian and Chinese governments are very astute. And they seem to be, or else they don't want to be criticized for supporting terrorism. But who is the greatest terrorist in the world? Let's get on to the Islamic State, because Obama, even though what he said about Russia, most of his rhetoric, as well as I remember, was directed at the Islamic State. And they were so evil, and they cut people's heads off. I mean, I think they've cut off the head of an American, a British, and a French journalist, right?
Yeah, two U.S. journalists and a British subject.
Okay. Well, a Frenchman, too.
Algeria, the
so
latest one
four.
In Algeria.
Okay, there's four. And this is just awful. And of course, I think it's correct that every month Saudi Arabia cuts the heads, you know, 10, 15, 20 people. It's their capital punishment, I think. If reports that I've seen recently are correct, then that's the case. So Saudi Arabia is always cutting off people's heads, and nothing is ever said about it, not even reported. But why is it so awful to behead somebody, but it's quite all right to bomb the hell out of them? Now, the United States has been bombing seven countries for the entirety of the 21st century. They've killed hundreds of thousands of civilians, Who is the terrorist?
Paul, how can the killing of a few individuals by any means, by heads chopped off or any other way, be a reason to go to war and kill many thousands of people? Of course, there's no reason whatsoever.
Well, but the question... Of course not. But the question is, who's the terrorist? The guy that cuts off four heads, or the guy that obliterates hundreds of thousands with bombs and drones. And I mean, it's absurd to have the greatest terrorist in the world as a bomber. He's murdered more people than everybody else put together. And he's up there describing somebody who beheaded four people as a terrorist. Well, the very day his bombing raids against the IS group killed 29 women and children. So who is the terrorist?
Indeed, who is the terrorist? We know who the terrorist is. And again, I mean, his speech, it seems every time he gives a speech, Paul, it exceeds the worst of his last one. I mean, they're all abominations. I mean, they're all demagogic mumbo-jumbo rubbish, complete rubbish.
Why didn't somebody stand up and say it? I mean, why didn't somebody in the UN stand up and say, what in the world are you talking about? What kind of fool are you? You think we believe this rot?
They don't believe it. We're almost out of time, but I agree with you 100%. I mean, they have to sit there. If anybody didn't look attentive, at least reasonably attentive, they'd probably be mocked. The country would be mocked for regime change. Paul, a final last thought. We're just about out of time.
Well, I think something is afoot because the speech is so unreal. And at least Colin Powell claimed to have all this kind of evidence. Obama never mentioned any evidence other than four beheadings for the ISIS. So I think something's afoot. I don't know what it is, but somebody should notice that.
Like, well, I know you will watch this every day, and so will I. And anything that comes up, I know you'll write about it, and for sure I'll write about it. And we have to do this. We have to let people know what's really going on. I mean, there's a real possibility that we could have a major, major conflict erupt, the possibility of a global war. And the main villain of the world, a serial killer unlike anything that ever existed, is the United States of America. It's important to call this out, call them on their crimes, and let enough people know to get angry enough to want to do something to stop. If we don't stop them, Paul, I think it's curtains.
Yeah, well, I don't know that we can stop them, but I think you're right. We're headed toward curtains.
That's what I fear. The idea that something really fierce is going to break out, and we literally could cross a Rubicon we can't come back from. I never in my lifetime thought we'd see this. I remember World War II vaguely. No television in those days, and I was just a little kid. But I still remember it, and I had no idea what all the issues were or anything. What could a kid understand at a very early age? But certainly I understood it very well later on. And the idea that we could repeat this thing, I mean, we repeated World War I with World War II. Is it out of the question? We can't have a third world war. And if there's a third world war, there won't be a fourth one. And that's what scares the devil out of me. There'll be nothing left. Humanity won't be around to wage a fourth war.
Yeah, we won't have to worry about climate change.
No, we certainly won't or anything else. Or we'll win the Super Bowl or the rest of it.
Yeah.
Paul, it was great having you on. We are out of time. The music is going to crank up in just a moment. I look forward to getting you back and reading all your articles are must-reading for me. And I recommend the listeners that they follow your writing. You're on your blog site. Just Google Paul Craig Roberts. You go to Paul's website. But they post it on many, many websites. You can find his articles very easily. Follow them. Very important thinking, very important ideas, and you'll know what's going on in the world. Follow PRN. I hope people will read the stuff that I write. If we don't do something, Paul, it's hopeless. I don't know if we can stop this killing machine, but for certain we have to do something to try.
Yeah, well, we'll keep on. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, Stephen.
Thanks, Paul. I look forward to getting you back next month.